if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, hoy, ladies and or gents and or generic peoples.
You dug yourself into a really quick hole there.
I did. It's episode 287. I'm Dan. I shall be spending the next hour or so removing my ginormous foot from my even bigger mouth. And I'm joined, as ever, by one person who can't keep quiet until he's introduced, and that's Tim Hibbs.
You will never keep me quiet.
No.
You could not stop me. Ever.
Well, you can carry on making noise. Whether or not we actually listen to it is another thing entirely. And we're also got another man who has to go to work very shortly. Is Coleman.
Hi, I went to the zoo.
You went to the zoo?
To the zoo.
What did you see at the zoo, Coleman?
I saw gibbons.
Did you say hello to my dad?
I did. I saw a gibbon called Yoda. He was awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Much like I am, they're slightly strange-looking creatures, gibbons is.
Yes, I can confirm this.
Yes. Long arms.
Swinging around, sitting down on a pole, like watching us like we're a TV. It was pretty cool. Blew a kiss to a woman.
Throwing a bit of turd.
It was nice. No, they didn't do that.
No turd throwing?
No. Saw some tigers.
Did he at any time say anything in the vein of ahoy hoy?
No, he's a monkey.
Otherwise, try and introduce a podcast.
I mean, I tried doing Yoda jokes, but he didn't get it.
Funny joke.
It's the times where, like, I haven't been to the zoo since I was a kid, so it was pretty
cool. Zoos are awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool going, but I really wish at times, like, going to a zoo that I knew how to do, like, sleight hand magic tricks, because I don't know if you've ever seen the videos where people do card tricks to monkeys and, like, they'll make them go disappear. They'll make a card disappear from their hand, and the monkey's just like... Like, they just look so shocked. It's amazing. I really wish I could do stuff like that sometimes.
Well, it really makes me want to teach a monkey the, kind of like the mind blown.
Yeah.
I really want to teach that to a monkey in those exact situations. But quick fire round, chaps. Favourite animal in the zoo? Mine is the penguin.
Otters.
Oh, see, you probably... You stole mine, Dan.
I'll go for my second choice.
In fact,
tapir.
The penultimate time I went to a zoo, I went on
wombat.
I went to an opening of the zoo at night.
How is this a quick fire? Do you understand the concept of a quick fire question, Tim? Let me name every... one day I went outside and I saw a magpie. That was quite fun. But then later on that day, I saw a stoat.
I would have been quick had you not stolen penguin.
Penguins are cool. If you go to London Zoo, go check out Penguin Beach. It's awesome.
Yeah, penguins. They're the best. Anywho.
There's a show.
Talking of... I was trying to do a penguin tuxedo, hitman, new publisher.
If you were to garrote a penguin and then steal his tuxedo...
Yeah, if you want to ruin childhood memories of anybody who you know, go and garrote a penguin after shaving your head and putting a barcode in the back of it. It's as simple as that. Hitman, new publisher, Warner Brothers.
Oh, yay!
Smooth.
So last year, Square Enix, they dropped IO Interactive, but they let them retain the Hitman license, which was interesting, to say the least.
An idiotic business move is how I would describe it.
I mean, when you look at some of the other licenses like Deus Ex, they don't seem to have plans outside the words Final and Fantasy.
Well, I was secretly hoping for the Hitman Kingdom Hearts mashup is what I was hoping for.
That would be awesome. Grotting a Mickey.
Exactly.
Grots for everyone!
It's all about ruining as many childhood memories as we can, really, quite frankly.
100 Disney princesses parachute onto an island.
I would pay actual real-world money for that
game.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a lot of people who pay a lot of money and do things to themselves in bushes for that, Tim, I think.
Yeah, so IO Interactive, they've announced that this is only for Season 1 of Hitman, the Definitive Edition, which is already out at the moment, but it's now going to be published by Warner Brothers going forward. Now, they've already announced there is a Season 2 of Hitman coming out. It's safe to say that this will probably be published by Warner Brothers also if they get some decent results with Definitive Edition.
So it's exactly the same thing, they're just republishing it because now they own it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So nothing, no. If you already own it, no reason to do the things.
No reason to do anything.
Marvellous.
Cool.
Brilliant.
Good.
Nothing to see here, move on. Talking of nothing to see here, no more microtransactions in Shadow of War.
Ever.
Ever. No more ever, yes.
This grueling war of loot boxes is over, chaps. We can finally go home and see our sweethearts.
Exactly. So 6 months after the fact, and placing this game firmly in the time window of no one gives a rat's ass, Monolith have removed microtransactions.
Yeah, and it's a weird one because, as you say, it's 6 months after the game launched. No one, who have you heard talking about Middle-Earth Shadow of War? Because personally, the only people I've seen talking about that game in recent days is the PR companies that send me emails about their latest DLC.
A few people just generally talking about the microtransaction problem may have made reference to it.
Right, okay. So Jim Sterling, basically.
Other than that, I guess it kind of stops people doing exactly that, though. Mm. It does take away that criticism of the game. Long term, at least.
There's plenty of other criticisms to have with that game, though, to be fair.
Possibly. But I mean, I think that was one of the main things that people kind of rallied against the game for. So at least it takes away that criticism. On a sort of more general note, it's nice to see the whole microtransaction thing being recognized by people within the industry as something that is currently toxic and not really to be added to a game at the moment.
Yeah, but it works. It makes some money.
There seems to be, because the reason given by Monolith is that we're taking out these microtransactions because they compromise the game. Who knows? They don't quite mesh with the idea of the Nemesis system, that you can now just buy orcs and throw them at the problem.
They're almost as quick off the mark with player feedback as Bungie are with Destiny 2. That's incredible.
Exactly. But they've put out this press release and basically gone, hey, we're doing it for you, the people. And the story then has kind of been picked up in two different ways from outside sources going, well, they've obviously done this because of the stuff with Battlefront 2, but with EA removing all their microtransactions and they're just trying to ape on that. And then on the other kind of side, they've gone, well, it's 6 months after the game's come out. Sales have probably dwindled down at this point. It can't hurt them to then take all this stuff out and then make it more of an appealing thing when the game goes to sale and stuff.
Exactly, because I'm sure there is a Steam sale around that. I feel like we're due for a Steam sale.
Yeah, so if you have any gold in the game already, that will all get converted on the 17th of July into the appropriate amount of war chests or whatever you buy with that gold. I don't know, I never looked at the actual store itself. When the time comes, you can still buy gold up until the 8th of May, and you can still purchase war chests until the 17th of July. So that's when everything changes over. But don't bother. Just play the game properly.
Don't encourage them.
As well, I didn't put it in the story, but the final part of the campaign that everyone was complaining about, that said it was too grindy and obviously trying to make you buy microtransactions to throw at problems and all that kind of stuff, that's all getting slimmed down. They're taking away a lot of the grinding to it. They're trying to make it more cohesive going forward. Same with the DLC as well. Apparently there's a similar type problem in one of the DLC campaigns. So it looks like they're altering the game to bridge that gap that the microtransactions are going to take out, basically.
Mm. Yeah. So actually put some game in there rather than just take your
technically
money.
I think they're taking some game out.
But they're redoing the game, yes, in a way where you can have some meaningful progression to do it using your own, you know, your own hard-earned... I'm not getting anywhere with this particular analogy, so let's just move on.
It's fine. I might finish that game now.
Yeah,
I might not.
Serious.
I'm just very tired.
Yeah. My problem with that game wasn't the microtransactions. It was the... You remember towards the end of Assassin's Creed, before they decided to make Origins and reboot the series, kind of with the mechanics and stuff. You remember when you'd look on the map of Unity and it was just like someone had vomited all these icons everywhere, sheer amount. You like, if you zoomed out, you couldn't see the map underneath the icons. That's the problem I have with Shadow of War. It's just too much stuff there. Too many collectibles. Too many side missions, and a lot of them self-regenerating and stuff. So, yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Oh, I've got too much game.
Well, it's an OCD man's nightmare, okay?
Yeah, you got to do all the things.
Yeah.
You have to do all of the things. Talking of doing all of the things, L.A. Noire has been in the news after being released on Switch.
My favourite French game.
Le Noir.
Le Noir.
Le Noir. Le Noir, or The Dark Bit, is having VR case files coming to another VR platform.
Yeah. And it's not PSVR, Tim.
I know, I'm upset. What the hell?
But on the bright side, it stops you boring us to death with 3 hours about how the menu looks in VR.
Oh, no, so, no. That's coming.
I would have been upset had this come out in VR, in PSVR, because it probably will now that it's come to another level. And... yeah, well, it probably might at least, but I just bought it on Switch. So yeah,
but this isn't the whole game. This is...
I've got this image of Tim. The reason... I've now come up with a theory why Tim bought a Switch in addition to your one also being around your flat, that he thought, let's hope he's going to get L.A. Noire VR by gaffer-taping one Switch to each eyeball. And wandering around.
Homemade,
I think that's
Nintendo
how it works.
VR system.
Mm. But anyway, this is on Oculus Rift now. It's now available through Steam and on the Oculus Store. If you are interested, what this game is, it's sections of L.A. Noire that have been converted into VR.
Okay.
So I think
no original content then?
No original content. It's a handful of missions that are available. Okay. When I heard this, I thought that just meant you're going to be walking around a room, checking the dead body, looking for clues, that type of thing, but then cutting out any of the other game's aspects at all that are a bit more difficult, and then later doing the interviews. Mm. It is that, but it's also the driving, it's the fist fighting, it's the shooting. There's lots of stuff in this game that you can do, and apparently it runs incredibly well.
Okay, well, that's good to
which
know.
Is probably why it's not coming to PSVR.
Ooh, snap, son. Snappity, snap,
those,
snap.
Those PSVR, those PS Move controllers are not good for this game.
Yeah, possibly not. But then just let me play it on the control pad anyway.
Maybe.
And there's also more details abound on Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery.
Yeah.
Which is the game that we talked about before. But at least it's going to have some people from the actual films in it, in the form of Dame Maggie Smith, Sir Michael Gambon, and Warwick Davis.
Oh,
reprising
me.
Their roles from the movie series, of which Warwick Davis has about 15 roles. So
I'm in the game. I play Snape.
You're in the game, are you? Yeah. You're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah, Professor Coleman.
By Grandthar's hammer. What a saving.
Grandthar's hammer. What a saving.
Her. That's me. I'm in the game. This is the Android game.
Harry
Android
Potter
iOS
and
game.
A good day to die hard.
Tim's in it. Professor Mumblemore.
Yeah, that's coming to iOS and Android on the 25th of April. I might actually check this out now, even though I don't...
Really?
I think it looks like ass, but I want to check it out. I don't particularly know the Harry Potter universe that well, but I'm looking for a deep game on mobile platforms. That sounds interesting.
Right. Right, I'm now looking up Harry Potter professor names, I'm not going to lie.
Dan, I wish you would play my game.
Right.
See you in the defense against the dark arts.
You're Cadmus Crouch, apparently.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you.
Coleman Crouch. That's what they call me.
Yips. I'm live interneting people.
Good.
Tom Hooch is...
Tom Hooch.
Tom Hibbs. Got him.
That's amazing.
Is he an alcoholic?
Well, why not?
I've got to make my own hooch.
With a name like that, he's either an alcoholic or in a buddy cop movie with Tom Hanks.
I'm Dean Grindelwald, is what I am.
Dean Grindelwald. You got a famous name, I'm pretty sure.
I've got a famous name. Damn straight I have.
Yeah.
All right.
That's because you're posh and you're an upper class wizard.
Damn straight I am.
You posh
No, it's half-breed nonsense. I'm not named after a cheap alcoholic beverage.
No.
Are all of your friends named after cheap alcoholic beverages as well, Tim? You hang out with Bob Wicked.
Jack Daniels and Jim Beam.
Yeah. Two best friends. That's good.
The most slurry wizards in all of Hogwarts.
Spurs.
Here comes our female companion, Tia Maria. Sorry, carry on.
Oh, let's talk about another remaster. Remastered, why not? Spyro! That hasn't had a remaster yet, so it's getting remastered.
I was going to say I love a remaster, but I don't really care for Spyro, I have to say.
No.
A bit after my time and a bit too, you know...
Twee?
Well, kids platformer, basically.
Yeah.
For yeah.
Spyro didn't have the attitude of Crash Bandicoot. Definitely didn't have jorts on or fingerless gloves.
You know me, I don't really like my kind of, you know, platforming type mascot platformers, basically, is
right.
Not really my thing. So, yeah, I'm not...
How was Super Mario Odyssey?
Everyone's going mad for Spyro, and that's all great, but I just don't care that much.
Yeah, Spyro Lysers, maybe, in the circles in which I now circulate, but not Spyro.
Also, the fact that it's coming out in the 21st of September means I'll probably be too busy.
Yeah, so it's launching in time for the 20th anniversary. You get Spyro the Dragon, Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage, and Spyro Year of the Dragon. I think I only played the first one and a demo of the second and third because PlayStation Magazine. That's going to come out on both PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I'm pretty sure they'll announce it for PC and Switch down the line some point, like they did with the Crash Bandicoot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tickle my chow, Alphonse, and call me Charlie.
Exactly. Seem to be a lot of people excited about the Spyro remaster.
All power to you if it's something you like from your childhood, etc. And, you know, or just something you want to see come back. Just not really my thing.
Do you know what I like from my childhood?
Oh, God.
Comic books.
Smirnoff Ice. That was great.
It's lemonade you can get smashed on.
Exactly. It's a beautiful thing.
Other Alka Pops are available.
Indeed, like Hooch. Isn't like that hooch. Right, Tim?
Yeah. Is Hooch still... Do they make Hooch still?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure
I think... No. I thought it was available in the 90s. Then it went away, and then they brought it back again.
I'm fairly sure I saw it in my local Tesco Metro, which is the worst Tesco Metro known to man. Yep, you can. There we go. Boom.
There you go.
Tesco grocery, 70 centilitres.
I'm pretty sure Two Dogs, which was the other rival make, doesn't exist anymore.
It's amazing. The Tesco page for it has information. It's also got tasting notes.
What does it pair well with?
Kebabs.
Nice. Let's move on, Dan.
Yeah,
this is a good product placement, Dan, but we're not getting paid for it as planned.
Aren't we? Damn it. There's this guy I know called Spider-Man. Right, yeah. Spider-Man. He can do anything a spider can. Hates baths. Can't get out of them.
Little Tom Holland stuck on his back. I can't get out. That's a spot on Tom Holland impression, by the way.
So Spider-Man is coming out again this year.
What do you mean coming out again?
Again, there's been so many Spider-Man games.
Yeah, but they're all the Activision games, and the good 90% of them were a bit chaff. You know, not all of them were Web of Shadows or Spider-Man 2. Little Shattered Dimensions was okay, I guess.
I'm fairly sure my first Spider-Man game's on the Atari 2600. Yeah, there we go. Found it. Fair enough.
Yep.
But yeah, so Activision's had the license for God knows how long through Neversoft and Beenox and all those kind of guys.
Parker Brothers,
why not? And now Spider-Man has gone to Insomniac. They announced
it. Actually, can I just say, I've just realised, I mean, I having seen that box art, but that it was from Parker Brothers, that is a genius bit of tie-in marketing.
Good.
If you think about it.
Never appreciated at the time, but yeah.
Never appreciated at the time, but that is amazing. Carry on.
Anyway, so announced at E3 a couple of years ago. Insomniac now have Spider-Man. It is a platform exclusive for PlayStation 4, and it's going to release on the 7th of September. They've announced a digital deluxe edition of the game and a collector's edition of the game. I think the collector's one is the only one that comes out in the UK along with the standard game. And there's a cool Spider-Man statue and stuff with that.
Yeah.
But also, later on, they announced that there are no microtransactions or multiplayer in the game.
Yay.
Because some of the mechanics looked a bit microtransaction-y. So people got a little bit worried. Yeah. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I can't wait.
Looks really good.
Does it come with a list of what spiders can do so you can actually verify that he can do whatever a spider can?
Yes. That's with the collector's edition, which costs £1 million.
Wow.
Mm.
I think it might just be worth it, though.
I'm looking forward to this because the last one I played was The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which was the movie tie-in game with the reboot movies that were really bad from Sony. And
I played a terrible one on the 3DS as well.
Yeah, I liked the movie more than I liked the game, and a lot of people hate that movie. So
that I was going to say, that's some serious, serious comparisons being made there.
Yeah, I think I gave that like 2 barrels on BRB. You could probably find that review somewhere. Type Spider-Man into the search bar on Big Red Barrel.
Right.
You can see what my complaints were about it.
I am properly excited about that game.
Look forward to seeing that spider butt swinging through New York, because that's all you will see for the most of the game. Swinging spider butt.
Swinging? He's putting keys in a bowl. He's rummaging around in them. Oh, wrong type of swinger.
I'd actually put out of my mind the terrible VR Spider-Man game as well, but anyway.
It was fine. It was free.
It wasn't worth free, and that's saying something.
I thought it was fine.
It was mildly...
It was a free VR game to hype the movie. It was better than the Justice League one that they made you pay for.
That is true.
Was that 20 quid?
Yeah, that's apparently terrible.
Yeah.
There was one other thing I wanted to add on to the end of the news, gentlemen. I don't know if you've seen, but there's a lot of national press and therefore other people talking about it on the back of it and just general talk of the PlayStation 5.
I've
seen
none of this.
In particular, there was some talk, I think... It was the Daily Star, possibly, or someone else.
Oh, well,
that
it's got to be true then. Well,
yeah, that's why I've not seen any of this.
But
yeah, me neither.
But no. But I'm just saying that has sparked a lot of talk on Twitter in the last couple of days about rumours of the PS5.
Has it gone anything beyond they're probably going to do a PS5? Because I, you know, anyone with a brain can told you that.
What was widely reported on is the fact that dev kits are out with developers, which might make sense, but doesn't mean that we're going to see a console this year, which is kind of what a lot of people are leaping to. A lot of people are then saying more likely to be next year, which I think is entirely more likely. But 2020, I would say Christmas 2019 is a possibility, but just wanted to just add something because I'd heard something that came from two independent sources that will remain nameless.
Brown and Tomato.
But no, two independent sources from companies within the gaming industry. One that's just a straight up video game developer, and another one that's just a company that does services for video game developers. But independently, they both happen to tell me very similar bits of information. So I'm just relaying that information. Basically, a lot of the thing that's being reported on that dev kits are with people is slightly jumping the gun. Apparently what is with some developers are the early kind of test render type, you know, setups of, is this something you'd be happy with if we were making the PS5? And they're getting that level of feedback, which is good to hear because that's what they did with the PS4 and the mistake they made with the PS3. So good to hear they're still doing that type of thing. That would make sense, given they did that in the previous generation.
I mean, it's quite a common approach these days because essentially kind of modern consoles are kind of specialized PCs, if you look at the architecture. So they kind of have a target build of hardware to go, right, this is what kind of level of compute we're pegging for. So like,
exactly, yeah. And it's those units and like a physical manifestation of that put together that is with people and is being tested at the moment. It's not actually a physical dev kit that's already out there with developers, apparently. But even if it, and look, take that with a slight pinch of salt because it's what I've heard from people that have heard from other people. So it's kind of secondhand, even third hand information. But as I said, it just happened to be two independent people that told me very similar bits of information, basically. It could be the case that dev kits are out there, but even if that was the case, that doesn't mean we're going to see games for 2 or more years, possibly.
Sounds too early to me.
Yes, I think so. And there's, for me, as we've discussed before, so I won't go at full length, but it doesn't make sense this moment in the generation to be launching a new console when you've got so much software hitting on this one, basically.
Well, I wonder if it's kind of just starting like the third act of the PS4, as it were, because God of War's coming out later this month.
And there's some really big games hitting this year, but there's still a few games that have been talked about and possibly slated for next year. I mean, it could be one of the reasons that Days Gone was delayed to go to the next platform, maybe, but we'll see anyway.
Okay.
So Dan,
mm-hmm.
I hear you caved.
Yeah, I caved.
It didn't take much.
Who did you kill?
We really didn't twist your arm much to get a Nintendo Switch then.
No, I have finally picked up a Nintendo Switch. Put it this way, I'd had a harrowing day at the Ideal Home Exhibition and I needed... I bought a burger alarm and I needed to do something that didn't feel so grown up. So I bought a Switch.
You needed something irresponsible.
I did. No, mate, I'm loving it.
See, I told you that you would be happy with it as a piece of kit. Is it not a phenomenal piece of kit in terms of just, you know, what it does in engineering?
What's so refreshing about it is that it's not doing the race to the top of who's got the most gigaflops and teraflops. It's how do we make an enjoyable game experience? And what's really nice, it feels like a nice distillation of kind of what Nintendo's learned over the past 10 years.
From what it's done right and what it's done wrong as well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very impressed. It's a very solid feeling piece of kit. Although I have noticed that the kind of plastic around the screen does scratch, even if you look at it slightly funnily.
Oh, I haven't had a problem with that yet.
Yeah. Well, it turns out trying to put a screen protector on actually scratched plastic around the screen. So it's a
I haven't put my screen protectors on. Maybe that's the problem.
but no, I mean, I have to say, I think actually it's at its best when you play it in handheld mode rather than attached to the telly.
Yeah, there's a lot of games that will display in a lesser frame rate or resolution when you attach them to the TV.
Yeah, but at the moment I've picked up Legend of Zelda, which is a very different experience than I thought. Not necessarily in a bad way. Picross, because I love Picross. And Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, let's play some Mario Kart.
For a man who's gone, I can't afford stuff because I bought a house. You bought a lot of games.
Yeah, I know.
Well, three, that's not excessive.
Yeah, but... Look,
that's how many I got with it, and then I rented
I've traded stuff in along with it as well.
Oh,
mate,
okay, so. I'll let you off then.
Oh, thanks, Coleman.
Did you get a good deal?
Oh, got a great deal, mate.
Did you get a good deal, like Tim
got a good deal.
He got a great deal, he
great
did.
Deal.
Look, great deal, mate.
Great, lovely deal. But yeah, no, I'm very impressed with it. I'm currently trying to resist purchasing Mario Odyssey because I've got enough other games I should play.
Ooh, it's a good game, Dan. It's a good game. Did you know that's my game of 2017?
I know. I don't start. Look, I've already caved to you once so far.
Have you noticed...
Firewatch is coming soon.
The kind of tricksy but fairly ingenious thing that Nintendo have done with the eShop.
How do you mean?
In the eShop, you get, I can't remember what they call the currency, but you get some point return on the purchases.
Oh, yes,
you
it's essentially like a 10% cashback is what it works out to. Yeah, I think that's a really clever idea.
Yeah, you get that as a discount in the next game. Now, it makes it out that, you know, like, games on the store are as expensive as they are in physical stores. But then... It's not, actually, because you get that many points back and that comes off your next purchase of your next game. And it encourages you to spend more money in the eShop and be more likely to buy a game in the eShop than buy a game in a shop, no?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, it depends.
It also encourages you just to buy games in general, because I've been like, oh, I get 60p off that price.
Hibs logic.
Wow. Well, you've got to spend money to make money, Coleman. You know that, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I the only thing I wish is that its solution for game chat wasn't the frankly insane solution they've got at the moment, which requires an app on a phone. You may as well just call your mate up, quite frankly.
And just do hands-free.
Yeah.
That's how we'll do some Mario Kart.
I think it does a lot of things right, and I think the hardware's at a really good sweet spot. For where they're aiming. I mean, it's, you know, it's visually, I mean, they've kind of made really creative use of the limitations of the system in a way to kind of lessen the impact of that. It's never going to look as purdy as a, you know, an Xbox One X title. It's never going to do that.
But I just haven't been that bothered with that. With the games that I've been playing, it hasn't been an issue. And like you say, the TV may be... a less viable option in terms of like graphical fidelity, etc. But it's just nice to have that option there if you want to. Like, it'd be good to play. I'd much rather play like local multiplayer Mario Kart through the TV and have a split screen on a TV than trying to play four player split screen on just the little screen on its own kind of thing.
But the other bright side is that I also changed my name.
Oh,
From this day forth, I shall now be known as SW. 12814088909.
It's not really catchy.
It does what's needed.
It's going to make the show a lot longer if we're going to have to call you that every time. Can we call you SW for short?
Hi, it's SW12814088909.
As I said, I've been really enjoying mine. One other thing that it was the game I was going to talk about quickly was Ultra Street Fighter 2, The Final Challenges.
Yeah, I've had a look at that. It looks like the HD remix.
Yes. Now, I went into this with some HD degree remix of trepidation. I'd heard pretty much negative things about it, generally. And I was going in expecting...
So you thought you'd buy it anyway?
No. Well, in this case, I rented it to see if what the deal was, kind of thing, and have a look at it. And I went in expecting to not like this game, and I kind of not been able to. Like, other than the one limitation I found with the Switch is that, for me, like, playing in handheld mode, it was okay, but not great. But the real limitation with a fighting game was the fact that the analog stick was fairly useless for it. But I was actually surprised at how good, considering they're just four buttons, but how good those four buttons are as a D-pad, basically. I mean, obviously Nintendo know what they're doing in making a D-pad and have been doing that pretty well, or pretty much the best, for years. So I imagine that they took some of that engineering into that. But I was just surprised, because that functions really quite responsively as a D-pad, basically. So I was pleased with that side of things, at least. There is also the motion control things that they stuck in there. And it's very much tacked on, and I can see why people criticized it. But considering it is literally just an extra mode where you can mess around with, you're basically having to do the actual fireball motion to get fireballs going.
That is amazingly dumb.
It's amazingly dumb. And then you're having to lift one hand in the air to do dragon punches, and or move both arms side to side to do a spin kick type thing.
I bought a Dragon Ball game on the Wii just for that. Purpose.
but it's
one that I already owned on the Xbox.
It's incredibly dumb. It's not necessarily the best at picking up exactly what you're trying to do, but it kind of works, and it's a bit silly. Like, it's a bit of a throwaway thing, but like, there's three different modes, and the first two are just like fight away a wave of enemies and see how quickly you can do it. The third one, which is like expert mode or something, but that actually has a boss battle with it, with M. Bison at the end, and the rest of it's fairly easy. The boss battle with M. Bison was a bit tougher, basically.
Half man, half bison.
A lot tougher. Literally, the only real... It's Super Street Fighter 2 and a souped-up version of that, with Violent Ken and Ryu and Akuma as additions, basically. I really didn't get on that one well with Evil Ryu, just because his special is like Akuma's and virtually impossible for me to do. But then Ken, Violent Ken, I got on really well with. He's a bit, in fact, I would say, if anything, he feels a bit OP. But generally, you can play through the game in the new kind of art style that they've got, or the classic art style. And as much as I spoke to another gamer who was talking about this and said he's waiting for the anniversary collection later this year, and I can understand people doing that, and that's probably generally good advice. But why I think you might be interested in it, Dan, is just because, for me, this game really plays to people of our age group, where Super Street Fighter and Street Fighter 2 before that were, you know, really kind of big games. And I think you'll get a nice kick out of playing like the old school graphics, and about some of the kind of fan service in the game generally, basically.
But it is £35, mate.
Yeah. But that is the problem.
It should appeal to me for those very reasons, but I'm not putting down £35 for a game I bought for £5 on the Xbox.
Yeah, it should. Well, this is a different game with different editions, basically.
Yeah, but none that I want.
Yeah, okay, fine. this should have been £20 at launch, and it should be cheaper now, and at that sort of price, pick it up. But yeah, for the price, I'm glad I didn't pay full price to find out. But I came away actually quite liking the game a lot more than I thought it would, basically.
Why is Violent Ken called Violent Ken?
Because he gets really angry.
So there was a lot of criticism about the likes of Violent Ken and Evil Ryu, and like, so you've got the good guy characters, and then when they're evil or violent, they make their skin darker.
Oh, snap. I actually hadn't noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I didn't notice that until someone pointed it out to me.
Yeah, you can do...
Ooh, that's not cool.
You can do a lot more with the kind of color palette thing, and you could, like, amend that to be whatever colors you want, basically. But yeah, that's probably, you know, I don't think that was a deliberate, you know, move in terms of
Japan
casting aspersions in that regard. But yeah, it's always had a little bit of a problem with racism, Street Fighter, if you ask me, but still.
Just before Coleman talks about the thing he's going to talk about, just to close off all Switch talk, what are your recommendations?
Oh, Super Mario Odyssey, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though
I'd say if you didn't pick up that game at launch, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, basically, well, I couldn't have picked up that game at launch anyway. But
you
could have. You meant purchase. But yeah, like, it's definitely a great game. I I can heartily recommend Odyssey. I think you will enjoy that and enjoy just the how well it is designed as a game as well, basically.
So that is the sole recommendation, Mario Odyssey.
You've already got my one, which is SteamWorld Heist. If you have any interest in golf games, then pick up Golf Story, because that's fantastic and good value for money.
Thinking about it, I would definitely say probably Super Mario Odyssey. Yeah, I think that's a good one to get at launch. If you didn't get it at launch, probably an idiot.
Coleman.
Yeah?
What have you been playing?
Oh, Super Mario Odyssey, mate.
How is it? I hear that game's all right.
I can't put it down. It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Blimey. Wow, I should pick that up.
I've also just bought a game that might appeal to you as well, but I haven't played it yet, but a game called Bridge. Well, no, but you might want to look at it, because I'm saying you might want to look at it because you might want to buy it at the same time as I said. I think it was on sale. I'm not sure, but you might want to check. A game called The Bridge, but it's kind of an M.C. Escher-inspired thing. Looked very interesting.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah. Not too bothered.
It's from a few years ago, but I just never actually played it
no,
before.
It's so,
yeah.
No Super Mario Odyssey, is it common?
No.
No. Thimbleweed Parks usually goes on sale on the Switch quite often if you've not played that on another platform.
I have played that, I think.
Oh, okay. Then you're fine. Don't worry about it.
So just Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, Super Mario Odyssey, mate. It's really good.
All right, lovely. All right, cheers, mate.
And that Slayaway Camp, if that's reasonably priced, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Really good. Mm. So I hear, Coleman.
Finally got to play it.
You finally got to play.
Oh.
Far Cry 5.
Yes, I finally got to play Far Cry 5.
So what do you think?
I think that is a Far Cry ass Far Cry game.
Damn straight it is.
Considering I've spoken about this before, like I've played all the Far Cry games, but I haven't played them for very long.
Right.
You know,
and why is that, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't know. Like, I think someone gave me the first one, and I played a little bit of it and went, yeah, that's fine. It's no Crysis, though. And then Far Cry 2 came out, and I just didn't... I picked that one up on the cheap and didn't really have... I picked that with a bunch of games, as I tended to do it back in the day, and just didn't really make the time for that one. Played a little bit and got kind of bored. I think the color palette kind of put me off.
The color palette.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, good. Right,
grey,
carry on.
Dreary games when you're in a grey, dreary city. Yeah, I don't know.
right, okay, carry on.
3 came out, and then everyone went gangbusters on that, so I picked that one up a little bit later again. Played that. That's probably the one I've played the most.
Right.
Again, that equates to about 6 hours of playing, and then just stopped and started playing other things because I got into other things. 4 I picked up, never switched it on.
Crack cocaine. that's one thing you got into.
Right, but that's the reason why I haven't bought this game. I know it's available for me to play through you, Far Cry 5, but my problem with Far Cry is that I will play it, really like it for 6 to 8 hours or so, and then go, there's so much of this game. And then never play again.
Anyway, Far Cry 4, yeah, went to the beginning, didn't really carry on. I think, again, other things were out at the same time. That's Far Cry's problem, is they tend to clash with other releases that I'm more interested in. Primal I gave a good shot at, but I got stuck somewhere and then just never went back to it. I think that was a rental as well, so I sent it back. And then, yeah, Far Cry 5, that one, again, as I prefaced last week, the reason that I wanted to pick up Far Cry 5 on launch is because, not for the story or anything, it looks bonkers, and I wanted to play this co-op mess around game, basically, more so than the ultimate Far Cry experience sort of thing. And the problem I'm quickly discovering with that is, much like a No Way Out that came out at the same time and I picked that up as well, if you don't have anyone to play multiplayer games with, they're not very fun.
No. So,
you can't really do that stuff with. Anyway, Far Cry 5 is what we're talking about. And yeah, it's weird because there's kind of two ways that people thought this game was going to go going into it, which was either this is a kind of parody on Trump's America, backwater, red wearing caps, make America great again type thing, or this is a very spoofy, well, it's kind of that taken in a serious light or a parody light or on a spoofy level. And then the other one is, which what I thought was going to be more based on the cult kind of thing of Cape Fear and Red State and things that I am genuinely interested in, research so I can start my own. And loading this up, it kind of begins that way.
You just threw that in there casually. Did you also say Cape Fear?
Yeah, Cape Fear's a great film.
Has that got anything to do with cults?
Yeah, yeah, the whole...
Yes.
Robert De Niro's character is a cult leader.
Okay. It's been years since I've seen it.
The wrestler Bray Wyatt was based on him. Anyway, so... Yeah, Far Cry 5. The way it opens up is it's in that kind of vein of everything's very serious. The whole thing is there's this cult going out going on, and there is a video that's been leaked out to the public. They're doing naughty things, and the U.S. Marshal's office is getting involved. So the marshal and his deputy are coming in. You play the deputy, and you're going to arrest this cult leader, low talking man bun. And you come into his church and his whole compound, and you see he's got this whole big cult thing going on, and you go to arrest him, and then all the you know, things go awry, and you end up stranded on your own.
All hell breaks loose.
Does the sheriff get shot?
Yes, but he did not kill the deputy.
Yes, yeah.
Those are things I don't want to spoil, you see. Giving a very very basic overview of the beginning of the plot.
I think my feelings in Far Cry 5 were that it wasn't brave enough with its narrative.
Right.
I think they could have gone further.
Well, that's the thing. It should be, though. It's never been that particularly brave with the narrative of the previous games.
Got the idea it was trying to be. And this one, it's weird because it starts off in this very serious manner, and then quickly that goes out the window. And it becomes basically the story of... It tries to be a bit of Just Cause. It tries to be a bit of Grand Theft Auto. And you know, in the way that Grand Theft Auto games, what they do is they do this very ham-fisted reference to something in real world to set up a storyline, and then it's actually got a humorous payoff towards the end. It's just got the ham-fistedness of stories in Far Cry 5, sadly. So I'm not in it for the narrative at all. The gunplay is fun, although frustrating at a lot of the times. The AI is quite dumb and can cause mistakes.
Yeah.
But I do have... I've had some very fun times. Like you were talking about shooting a plane out of the sky that just careened towards you, Dan. I had a similar thing where I was in a sort of sit-down big machine gun type thing, shooting the plane out of the sky that was firing at me, and all of a sudden it started veering towards me as it was crashing. And I just kept firing at it, and it sort of crashed and stopped just in front of me just before it knocked me over. So I didn't die, but I had this moment of screaming internally as I was playing, because it was quite late. And yeah, I'm really enjoying stuff like that. I'm really enjoying driving around or flying around in planes and stuff. But again, it seems like something that would be better in multiplayer to play with other people going through and just ignoring the storyline, really, just having fun.
That was quite a pretty ham-fisted swing at me there, Coleman.
Yeah. Well, everyone.
Yeah, everyone.
All the people that didn't play with you.
Imagine when Destiny 2 came out, Dan, and you're having fun with your Destiny 2, and then you go to play with your friends, and no one's bought the game.
It's almost like I do that on a weekly basis, and I'm just expecting people to just message me back, go, no, I'm sorry, I'm doing my head. Sorry, I'm waxing my hoverboard. I'm doing Tim's hair.
Sound like you're drawing from real life there, Dan.
It does a bit, doesn't it? But also, just a quick callback, talking of potential multiplayer experiences that no one wants to play with you, Coleman. I sent you a little screen grab. It turns out if you have a way out on Xbox One, you can play the entire experience with any of your friends online. You just send them an invite. They get they unlock the free trial when you do that. Then you're good to go.
So what about PS4?
Same thing. Speak to your friends, Coleman. That's all I ask.
To be fair,
speak
you kind of
friends.
Get to share me anyway, no? But hey.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Tim can use my copy anyway because we're in the same place. But yeah, okay. But
there we go.
Tim bought himself a Switch. And I'm assuming Dan's bought himself a Switch, so he won't be playing either.
Yeah,
Dan's great.
Let's go play Mario Kart.
Actually, hey, mate, I'm well up for that.
If anyone wants to play a way out with Lonely Coleman, then let me know.
Also, I will play both of them with you at some point. To be fair, our schedules
also
scheduled.
Just to transition from Far Cry 5, because Tim, I believe you said you were going to play through the beginning of the game, ready in preparation for the show. How are you
doing?
How'd
that work out for you?
How are you doing, Tim? You should be ready for multiplayer this weekend.
What I will tell you is that SteamWorld Heist is very good.
Yeah. See? Now that is a solid... That is a recommendation I make to anybody who's got a device that can play that game, because it's a great game.
That's fair enough. I recommend Mario Odyssey.
Oh, do you? I hear that's all right.
Yeah. Far Cry 5, if you've got friends to play it with, it's going to be a lot of fun. If you've never played a Far Cry 5... Far Cry 5. If you've never played...
If
you've never played a Far Cry 5, then Far Cry 5 is the Far Cry 5 for you.
If you've never played a Far Cry game, you could quite easily start off with this one. I think there's references to previous Far Cry games that are subtle.
It's pretty self-contained, to be honest.
They don't really matter. Like, the Blood Dragon thing is Blood Dragon's a movie. I think there's a couple of characters that can optionally appear, but they don't really matter. And most people have said they're the most annoying characters, so avoid them anyway. Pick it up on the cheap, probably.
Yeah. Good shout.
Yeah.
So anyway, I believe, Colman, you need to run away to work, so we better shut this show down. Tim, Tuesday's a Tuesday. Tell us about Tuesday and how you can play Tetris on a board game. I don't understand.
Tuesday is in... Indeed a Tuesday. Well, this was an interesting one. It's a kind of board game with an electronical digital element, basically.
Is it made by Tiger?
Well, for anyone that doesn't know... No Tigers. For anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday in the loading bar at Dalston. And
what day
each
of the
and every week... it is Tuesday,
Wednesday.
Funny enough, Dan.
Brilliant. just the name of the event.
The name would imply... we're not being, funny or anything. It's on a Tuesday. It's good. Basically, this week we have a game called Tetris Duel. Just quickly, last week, because we had an extra surprise, we did have 221 Baker Street as our feature game, but we also had a bonus feature game coming along as Rampage.
Coming along. Where you're going with that.
Game called Rampage, based on the movie. It was basically a slight variant of, and very slight variant of Jenga. It was kind of in a tower block, in line with the movie coming out with The Rock later in this month, basically. But I was surprised at how little people in loading remembered the video game that it was based on.
Only the little people remembered it.
Rampage.
Only the little people. Yeah, no, not that many people remembered Rampage.
Really?
Yeah.
Crap.
It was like me and two other people in the whole bar that remembered the video game that it was based on.
You need to hang out with people your own age, Tim.
Well, that would possibly help.
I did ask around at work a while ago, because I used to play a lot of Rampage in arcades, because we used to holiday around like caravan parks and stuff that had arcades nearby. Yeah. Rampage was always a favourite around kids around my age. And... I was quite surprised when I brought it up around work about Rampage because of the new movie that most people know it from Rampage World Tour, which I think was a PlayStation game.
Right, yes, that was the one they did on that.
But I can remember playing, I have many a fond memory of playing on the Amiga, actually.
Well, as someone brought up, and as I was discussing on Tabletop Tuesday, I remember playing it on the Atari Lynx.
Whoa.
Ooh, posh kid.
Man, you were a baller when you were younger.
No, to be fair, my friend's Atari Lynx.
Oh, all right.
But, okay.
I think at Teckles also said that he'd been playing it on the Atari Lynx. He said his wife has a copy of it on the Atari Lynx even, so there you go.
Oh, his wife's well posh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a rich kid.
Still got an Atari Lynx. But yeah, for anyone that wants more information, if you come along to bigredbarrel.com, there's information on the top left-hand corner, or you can come join our meetup group, meetup.com, Blackset's Tabletop Tuesdays. Can't get a sentence out without mispronouncing a word this evening.
Sounds half like the course, really.
Yeah, exactly. But, hey. But yet you're still trying, Tim.
Why change
I know,
now?
After all these years of podcasting. But yeah, basically, that all the information is there. Otherwise, it's come along this 10th of April, Tabletop Tuesday, at Loading Bar in Dalston, and come play some Tetris Duel. And I didn't explain that, but basically it flashes up a little notification of the type of piece you need to put in, and then you need to put that piece in without causing like the least number of gaps, and trying to make lines, basically.
So it's like Tetris.
It's a standing table version of Tetris. It's kind of like a battleship type setup. I played like a larger version of this a couple of years ago. It's really, really fun.
Hey, do you want to hear a fun fact about the Atari Lynx before we shout out people?
Yes.
Always.
Its backlight, the reason why its battery life was so terrible is it actually had a fluorescent tube as the backlight.
Really?
Whoa!
That thing ate batteries like it was going out of fashion.
Does that mean you could swap the tube out for like... ones for aquariums, so you could have a healthier colour to your skin or a glow.
Yeah, that was the only thing that I ever saw that ate more batteries than the Game Gear.
Yeah, had a CCFL fluorescent tube. It got through six AAs in 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, 4 hours maybe at launch when it was brand new. After a couple of years, maybe two.
Yeah, so there we go. But anyway, we need to say thank you to some people who were kind enough to say things about us on the internet. So we're going to say things about them on the internet back, right back at you. So from the Twitter, I'd like to say thank you to Rob Evans, Ian and Nelly.
There's one person I forgot to shout out last week because they did it just before, and I want to make sure I shout them out this week. So
Jeff,
do the others,
Bridges.
And I'll come in a minute. I'm finding it. Here we go.
The suspense is killing me.
Any time you want me, I'm just going to be right here on the edge of my seat. All right, mate.
It's his Twitter handle, and it's at Lee Buttard Harry.
At Lee Buttard Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Thank you very much. She said nice things.
Cool. On Facebook, thank you to Stone Cold Ed Price. And on YouTube, thank you to Mika B. I'm assuming, did I make a joke about Blue Show last week? Because he said he
might have done.
Okay, because he said something about Blue Show with a sad face, and I don't know if I've upset someone. Sorry.
You probably did.
Yeah, I probably said something like, they're dead and they're not coming back!
Jesus. Easy, Tiger.
Isn't it? Blimey.
We should take over their feed.
Take over all the feeds.
We take over all their feeds. Barrelcast, we're having it.
Yep.
Flicks.
Yep. You've got 2 weeks to do another show, otherwise we're having your feed, mate.
BRB UK is going out on all the feeds.
But speaking of which, people, to sign up to our YouTube channel, because we are only a few people away from 1,000, and that is a good point for us to get to.
Because we can get our adverts back.
We can actually have adverts. We can actually get paid for something. Oh, my word. We can actually have genuine criticism for being called professionals, possibly.
We ironically, the time we get a video with the most amount of views on it is when YouTube pulled off our funding.
You ought to try taking YouTube off novice mode, I think, is...
That wasn't just us. That was the part of the adpocalypse changes that they made, basically.
Yep.
But hey.
Yep.
Also, myself, Coleman, and Diamed, and Alex, I believe, will be at Rezzed.
Awesome.
Coming up. Get your tickets there. It's probably my favourite show of the year, I think. It's really cool because you get to speak to lots of indie game designers about the games that they're actually showing you. Yeah,
or
it's
if you meet,
really
you get
nice.
To speak to many indie games.
If you can, if you want
Hang
to.
Hang out with people who also have excessively expensive beard oil to put on their face.
Expensive? That's a pound world, mate.
Oh my god.
He only goes to shops where it costs like £30.
I'm
so
joking.
So basically you're just getting crisp and dry frying oil and putting it on your face.
Shh, don't tell Tim, he'll be wondering where it's been going.
is that why you keep waking up with him trying to eat your face because it smells like a chip pan?
Oh, that'd be gorgeous. I might try that.
What?
No, it smells like mince pies.
Oh god.
It's very nice.
Yeah, I'm just confused as to reasons why, because he told you to do that, and then you... Oh, God. Anyway, right. The point is, come join us at Rez, because it's going to be a good fun event. No chip oil necessary.
Unless you're Dan, then you won't, because you hate us.
Yeah, I do.
Then lather yourself up in chip oil. Come along,
mate,
to the show.
Already on it. What makes you think that's what I haven't been doing while you've been wittering away?
You could go to Rezzed, you could bring your Switch, then we could go to a nearby pub and we could all play Mario Kart.
Only if we can go on a roof and sit on a bench.
Oh,
do that.
This year's Rezzed after party is on the rooftop bar, actually.
Oh, that is true.
Over the road. We should totally do that.
Go to a rooftop party and take our Switch.
Before we descend into trying to work out who's the most Karen of the Karens, we need to go. Coleman needs to go to work. Yep. So that's your lot, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you ever so much for downloading us. As always, make sure you point your internet at www.bigredbarrel.com or internet/thing.bigredbarrel. Just put it in the internet site of your choosing, see what happens. So thank you for having us. And I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim. Maybe. Possibly.
Super Mario Odyssey is pretty damn good.
Is it?
You should check that game out, Dan.
Hard to pick that up. So, thank you ever so much for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.